Thank you very much. It's very excited to be able to share with you again. We've just done 4 weeks of Psalms and getting deep into the Word. I don't know who's been challenged with the Word recently. If you're in our small group, I've been hearing great feedback from the small groups. And the biggest feedback I get is, I didn't realize I was going to get so much homework. And everyone is struggling to read the Word. Isn't that awesome and scary at the same time? And we are focused and forced to have to spend time in the Word where we should be all the time. It's a great privilege. About a month ago, I finished a sermon series on authority, and before that we started with fear. And the main scripts that we broke open for 3 weeks was out of Timothy, that says, out of 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, I've not been given a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I hope by now this has become part of your life. And I'll probably quote that scripture another 100 times before the end of this year, so we can be knowing, and every time we are faced with that intimidation, whenever we're faced with fear, that we can grab out the sword that God's given us. But today we're not going to focus on that. We're going to carry on. And I'm very thankful for Byron. Byron, where are you now? Thank you so much for preparing and hearing from God. Because I too was struggling through something that Peter Russell said, and it was a scripture. And I went through the scripture a few times, and I really was struggling with the Lord. So I felt He was saying something. And so this, I really believe, is a prophetic word for us for now. Some of you, okay, now I need to give you a little heads up. Who remembers at the very end of the last sermon on authority, the Lord came and gave us a warning and said, we're going to be tested on this authority thing. Anyone remember that? Okay. Hands up, who was challenged on taking authority? Really? Don't, come on, guys. Really? Really? Only half of us. Okay, well, that's a... I don't know what the rest of you are doing. I don't know how you got through it. But I really believe that we were very much challenged. And listening to people's stories, we've been really, really, really tested on taking authority. Awesome. So we're going to the next stage. Okay? So for those of you that haven't been challenged on authority yet, it's coming. But for the rest of us, I'd like to speak about what God's showing me and saying is about to hit most of us. And then I'll explain why, and then like usual, I'll send you out and then you'll just go do it. Isn't that good? Right, let's get into the Word of God. Let's pray first. Hallelujah. I need prayer. Father, I just come and submit myself to you tonight. We submit our spirits. We submit our minds. I pray that you'll speak into our spirits tonight. Father, where anyone and everyone is at, you meet us, and that you'll take us by the hand through what you are taking and doing with your bride. I pray, Lord, that this will be a time of consecrated minds, focused minds. I pray that our spirits will be open to receive what is from you, and what is not of you and is of man will fall away. We really want to hear your voice, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just coming to break it open in worship tonight, your heart for this continent. And we pray that we'll take it further. In Jesus' name, amen. It's so awesome when God really just pitches in worship and does your sermon for you, so I can literally actually go, amen, let's go home. But I get paid to do this, so let's do this. Amen. No, seriously? So we've got a new app, the new program we're trying out, as you saw now on the screen. So we're trying a few new programs. The old programs are starting to, if you don't know, if you noticed, been giving us problems. So we're trying a few new programs out there so that you can follow us as we preach. And I've totally lost myself. Timidity. Yes, here we go. Prophetic word.
For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right and you will be commended. And Peter Busfall shared on his testimony of how he was tested in this. We had a situation that happened and that he had to do what was right. And it was very difficult because it was a senior person in the company, and he had to tell the senior person, he actually had to report the senior person because this person was not in alignment to the ethical clauses or the ethos of the company. Those of you that were there will remember that. And so I've been milling through this, and this is what I feel the Lord is saying to us in this season. Soon God will reveal corruption, unethical practice, sin, evil around you. And what will you do? I myself am in the season right now where some weird things are happening in many different places. I'm hearing a few stories from people around me that's going through exactly this, where people are unethical in their workplace. And the question is, what do I do? And what do these people do in these circumstances? How do we practice righteousness? I believe this scripture, and if you haven't written this down or taken a photo of this, I suggest you do. And then meditate on this. Soon what's going to happen to some of you is you're going to hear about or find out that your boss or someone in your company is cheating on their spouse. Soon the Lord's going to reveal to you that people are stealing in the company. Or cutting corners. And so I need to prophetically warn us, and this is a good warning. I really am excited about these kind of warnings, that the Lord is empowering you because you have authority. But this authority is often not something that's just spiritual. There's a natural order to authority that you need to follow. And my greatest prayer is that we will have the wisdom to handle it. That's my prayer. I'm not praying for someone. Someone asked me the other day, Bernie, pray for me for boldness. And I told him, buddy, I'm not praying for any more boldness. I'm just praying for you for wisdom. And for an hour on the phone, I just brought it. Although he was seeing something very accurately, his way of dealing with it was incorrect. Because he was coming in like a cowboy. Guns blazing. There was no wisdom. And so, I've been searching in Scripture, and we're going to go through the beautiful story of Joseph. The life of Joseph. The story of pain and providence. Now, as most of us all come from church background or been in the church in a while, I hope it's okay if I don't read the whole of the story of Joseph, starting in Genesis 37 to 45. I think it's going to be a bit long. Is that all right? So I was very kind to take my entire weekend and Google a picture. Thank you, Google. Before we start, I would like to take on the heresy on this page. I apologize to everyone here. I know this is going to be a shock. It's like when you heard about the Easter Bunny that didn't really exist. And Santa Claus, I know some of us are still getting over that. Joseph did not have a Technicolor dream coat. I know they sold you that in the play. I know it's in your Bible books when you're 3 years old. I know it. Not true. Okay? No Technicolor. Just a very nice coat. Okay? Armani or whatever. Think of that. Okay? Even in those days, Technicolor wasn't cool. Let's run through the story. Joseph was born the 11th child of Jacob, and his mother was Rachel, and Jacob loved Rachel very much. He was born with a child that was his of an old age, and he smarted this child above all children. All right? We will go into the problem of that now. Then what happens is Joseph is given an amazing gift from his father, this robe, because his father really loves him. And as you can see in the third picture there, his brothers are not happy. They are really, really, really jealous. Let's stop there for now. Here's the problem. Okay? Now, according to biblical times, this was incorrect. You see, I was supposed to be the beloved. I'm the eldest in my family. And Ryan, who's sitting there in the back, we're just going to be putting something horrible on the screen now. He's the youngest. He's not supposed to be loved more than the eldest. But can you remember the story of Jacob? What was he? He was the youngest of twins. And he took Esau's inheritance. So something in Jacob, he just loves the younger. In any case, and at this time, we find Joseph being at the age of 17. Joseph is working for his brothers and for his father. Okay, so he's the lowest of the low. And his brothers hated the fact that he was favored by the father. Then the father gives him a very nice Porsche, or whatever it is of the day. Okay? Gives him this incredible coat, and the guys hate him more. And to add to insult, Joseph has a dream. He has this amazing two dreams that all the stars and the moon all bow down to him, and then the other one is where all his brothers were putting hay together and all these hay barleys were bowing down. You remember the story? Is everyone with me? Awesome. Okay. And like a very immature young man, he goes and tells his brothers that hate him. By the way, I had this dream, Oaks. And the brothers say, so are you telling me that you're going to be my king? My baby brother, you're going to be my king. I'm going to serve you. Yes, that's the dream. So, okay. Now, I need to say, I know these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, it's there they are. They were horrible people. Go read about their lives. Okay, if you want to really see, I don't know why God chose them. Probably the same reason he chose us. Amen. Good place to say amen. So, these brothers, they go and they say, right, let's kill him. And they throw him down a pit because he comes to find them. And if you don't remember the story, please go read it. It will only take you about half a day. And they find, then they decide, okay, we're not going to kill him. Let's sell him off. These guys, these traders, they're on their way to Egypt. Let's sell our brother. And we'll tell our father that he was mauled by an animal because we found his coat. Are you with me? Okay. So this happens. And he gets traded off into Egypt, and he gets sold to Potiphar. Remember that? Now, Potiphar is the god of Pharaoh. Let's stop there for now. You know how we all like when you talk to a charismatic Christian? My calling. God has said. Does that ring true to anyone? Have you ever heard someone say that? Most people come look at me and they go, when people have a meeting with me, it's very interesting how they wait for this word of God. I'm just enjoying a cup of coffee with this person, and all this person wants is this word of God. John Piper. It's the word of God. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we've been playing a John Piper thing like 300 times in church over and over about small group. We'll do it for the next cycle again. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to hear. I want to hear from the Word of God every day. I want God to speak to me every day. And so, like Joseph, most of us want a word from God. The problem is that when God comes and reveals this dream. We get funny. We get weird. And that's what happened with the idea of Brother Joseph. The first thing when we have a dream of God is what do? Facebook. The first time when someone gets healed, what do? Facebook. Call a friend. Announce it to the world. God has told me that I'm called to do amazing things across the globe. .com. And we give ourselves these weird names. We start calling ourselves revivalists. We start calling ourselves evangelists. We start calling ourselves prophets. We get weird. And we see this in the life of Joseph. So let's go and visit Joseph. Okay, let's take a step back. Okay, because you're all thinking, is this really scripture? All right. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So he gave him this gift. His brothers hated him. It's really important to remember this. They could not say a kind word to him. And then one night, he had this incredible dream. Then Joseph was taken up to Egypt by these traders. He was purchased by Potiphar, the Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So Joseph goes, woe is me, I'm undone. Sold off. And the next thing, he finds himself in the house of Pharaoh's number one bodyguard. Are you with me? What do you think was going through Joseph's mind at this time? Thanks, Rob. Rob actually put up his hand for that. He's so excited. Rob's on this. Rob, you got this, buddy. We'll get there. The rest of us will get there. So, the Lord was with Joseph. Remember, what is Joseph thinking? So, he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar. So he made him charge of everything. Okay? From the day that Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. There's a few things, if we go to the next slide, that we notice in there. Can we go to the next slide? We see that the Lord was with Joseph. We see that he was successful. And we see that Potiphar realized and recognized the hand of God, being Yahweh, on his life. So you ask me, why is that spectacular? Why is that random? Great question. Thanks for asking. Potiphar means, let me just make sure I get this right, devoted to the sun. S-U-N. Ra. So Potiphar has lived a life consecrated to Egyptian worship. And out of his Egyptian worship, he sees the hand of God on Joseph. Not God with a small g, God with a big G, Yahweh. Here's the question. Does your boss, does the people working with you, around you, see the hand of God on your life? That's the first question. It's a hard question. Sometimes we're gonna have to talk about this. And I'd like you to find a friend. Remember, find a friend when the miracle happens. Find that friend. Get into conversation about this topic. Do people see God in my life? Do they hear the testimony of God? Or do they see you? When you do well at work, do they see you or do they see God? who gets the glory? Right. That's that note. Let's move on. Joseph was a handsome man like D'Andre and well-built like D'Andre. And Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Like no one. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. D'Andre, I can't look at you right now because I'm in the store. Praise Jesus. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything, his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. Remember, we spoke about authority. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How can I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. We see here that Joseph speaks about God. Therefore, they know who he serves. They know he is the son of Yahweh. Because he openly says it as well. He lives it. He lives his testimony. Now, for most of us, and we'll get back to this, this is incredible. It's incredible that in that time when something was about to go wrong, where there was an injustice, remember the word Romans 13? There was an injustice, and he could stand for what was right. Or so it would seem. Here's a little contrast. I'm just going to throw in this curveball. If this confuses you, don't worry. Find a friend. Can we go to the next slide? There's another man that had the same anointing as Joseph. Same gifting. Same calling. And his name was Uncle Daniel. Now, where Joseph struggled with wisdom and maturity, Daniel didn't. See, here's the question. If Joseph knew that Potiphar's wife was hitting on him, why did he not put something in place to keep him safe? Why didn't he have someone around him all the time? Let's look at what Daniel did. But Daniel resolved not to define himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief officer for permission not to define himself this way. Daniel had something that's called self-control. The only time that Daniel was alone was when he prayed 3 times a day before God. It's the only time we read him being alone. Joseph had a godliness. He knew God. But the lust was still a temptation. And he never dealt with it. And the only way he could deal with it was to run. Something in Joseph's heart was still not right. Something in his calling was still not right. Because of this, I believe, I've got this great calling. I've had these dreams. Okay? I get thrown into the pit. Now I find myself of the bodyguard of Pharaoh. And I know that my booties and my family is going to bow down before me. I'm one step closer. I'm a big step closer. And so God, in his goodness, caused Joseph to go back to jail. Can we go to the there we go. All right. We find ourselves over there. And Joseph gets thrown into jail. And he spends quite a few years in jail. And along the way, there's these two guys that have that the Pharaoh kicked out and threw into jail. And the one was the bread carrier. Another one was the cup bearer.
dreams and they come and share their dreams. And Joseph said, this is not a problem. This is God's business. This is what God does. And he explained the first guy, in 3 days, you'll be giving Pharaoh his wine again. Okay? So in 3 days, you will be the barista for Uncle Pharaoh, making him his great cups of coffee. But the bread dude, whoever that one is, you ain't going to make it. And in 3 days, you'll be killed. But there's a little something else in Genesis 40 that says, and as Joseph is now telling this explanation, he also says, and by the way, hint, nudge, nudge, please remember me and do me a little favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh because I've got a calling. So he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I'm not deserving of it. Something in Joseph's life still was not dead. And like a good barista, cupbearer, this guy totally forgot. And we see 2 years later, who remembers 2 years ago? That's a long time. Long time? 2 years ago? I think it's a little longer when you're in jail. Especially those jails in those times. 2 years later, we find this happening. All right, let's go back to that infographic, if we can. So what happens is, 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And the dream is of the thin cows and the fat cows, and these thin cows, and these fat cows come of the Nile. And later on, seven thin cows come up the Nile, and they eat the fat cows. And Pharaoh's really upset about this dream, and he gets all his seers and all his magicians and says, can anyone explain this dream? And the barista was on duty the day, and he says, I know this guy that can interpret dreams. And so they go and fetch poor Joseph, and Joseph explains the dream to Pharaoh. And then he also gives him, because finally he's got a bit of wisdom, how you can actually manage this whole scenario, this whole situation. And so Pharaoh says, brilliant, you're awesome. You're going to do the whole plan. You're going to provide and keep enough that for the thin years, for the 7 thin years, the scripture says that it's so bad, those thin years, that the great 7 years will be totally forgotten. And so Joseph knew that he had to collect, and he collected enough food that they could actually, as Egypt, rule the whole world. That they could buy everyone and everything. They kept the stock. They kept enough stock. And so Pharaoh makes him the prime minister of the country. There was no one higher in entire Egypt, okay, than Joseph except for Pharaoh. That is the highest position. Now, what is strange about that? It is strange because of the following. Egyptians hated Hebrews. They detested them completely. Why? Because they did the lowest form of work. They were shepherds. They were the lowest form of society. They would not eat with a Hebrew at the same table. They would not even eat at the same table. And yet, God has elevated himself in the Babylon of the day, in the system of the day, to rule and reign. So let's look at, and you all know the story later on, the sons come, they all worship, they all bow down, and meanwhile, he's also had a younger brother that was born now called Benjamin, which he's never met, and Benjamin became Jacob's favorite son. Very interesting story, but that's not the focus.
But what I'd like to focus is on where it says Jacob's about to die. And Jacob prophesies over all his sons, like a good father should do. The only problem is, it's not well done, good and faithful servant. Some of those prophecies are really not lekker. And it's not one you want to get from anyone. But Jacob just speaks the truth. And then he prophesies over Joseph. He says, Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near springs whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attack him. They shoot at him with hostility. But his bow remains steady. His strong arms stay limber. Because of the hand of the Almighty One of Jacob. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Because of your father's God who helps you. Because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings from the sky above. Believe blessings of the deep springs below and more blessings of the womb. We see that there is continuously a jealousy towards the anointing on Joseph's life. That jealousy led Joseph to deception because it made him think he was special. We see that Joseph actually finally gets it. Jacob dies at about 150 years old, and now his brothers come up to him because they're petrified. They're scared. They think that after his father died, he's not going to take vengeance. And we see finally that Joseph got it. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. Look, we are your slaves. But Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? But God intended all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. The dream that Joseph got as a child had very little to do with Joseph in the end. It had, in fact, I want to use the word nothing to do with him. He was only the vehicle. It had to do with the fact that God would provide for Israel that they would not be wiped out from the face of the planet. You see, everyone went through the great years. And everyone went through the bad years. But no one was able to prepare for the bad years. No one thought of it to prepare for the hardships and the hard years. So here's the challenge for South Africa. We'll get to our challenge now. South Africa, remember, is special. Because we are called to be the breadbasket of Africa. Remember that? Yet at this moment, I don't even think we can look after ourselves. We see more corruption than we've ever seen before. We see more plundering than we've seen ever before. Our food security is not as good as we think it is. And yet we're supposed to be the breadbasket for Africa. Did you know that there's El Nino effect in Africa on our borders? Do you know that Zimbabwe is experiencing the worst drought that they've ever experienced in the last 50 or 100 or something crazy years? Did you know that Zimbabwe is starving right now? Did you know that that drought is now hitting Namibia? And they're in the same place. Did you know? and we're not able to help. What does Christ say to us? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Oh, I love the scripture. Because He has anointed me. Can someone say amen? Amen. To do what? To do what? To proclaim good news to the who? Good news to the poor. We as South Africa need to leave the delicacies of Babylon and Egypt, like Daniel did, so that we might be focused for the call of the high God. If we want to be a prophetic voice in this nation, a shofar, then we've got to get this right. Pastor Fred May said something the other day at one of my staff meetings, and it's profound. I'm going to share it. Is that okay? Do you want to hear something profound? Don't crucify me. I'm just quoting someone else. The charismatic church is the prodigal son who has been given his inheritance to squander on everyone's. And he's going to the pigs. Is that okay? It's not okay with me, but is that okay? Is that hard? It's the son that says, I want my inheritance now, and I want to bling bling. I want to squander. I want to have good times. Hard word. So how do we test ourselves? Thank you for asking. The test of my beloved best friend, John. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? This is not only in finances. You might be blessed with an incredible marriage. And you see someone that's really struggling, and if you have no compassion, how can you be in God's love? You might have a gifting for business. You might have whatever, the giftings that I love, Byron was saying again. We've got so many gifts from God. And we use it to further ourselves, and we have no compassion on our brothers and sisters. Very little. I'm going to challenge us with stats. So, if it is finances, let's look at finances. There are 7 billion people in the world, because who's rich in this room? And I'm just going to show you who is rich. There are 7 billion people in the world. Almost half of them live on 33 rand a day. That's 1,000 rand a month. Are you rich? Okay, I haven't convinced you. They're great. 80% of the world live on 134 rand a day. That's 4,000 rand a month. Are you rich? Now all the interns are looking at this and going, yes, I'm very poor. And I did internship, and I remember those days. But don't fool yourself. Where does our compassion lie? If God put you into the shoes of Joseph as Prime Minister of this country right now, how would you live?
Now, I don't know if you're challenged. I'm challenged. Because according to this stats, you know how pastors love, I'm a pastor. Pastor salary. According to these stats, I'm very rich. And I'm very deceived. It's awfully quiet in the house of God. The test of the beloved. Do we have compassion? Well, the anointed, we need to proclaim the good news to the poor. Who's the poor? The poor is the person that's struggling his marriage, and you have compassion because you have a great marriage and you can actually help these people. That's the poor. It's the guy that doesn't know how to make his books clop. What's it? Balance. At the end of the month. And you have that gift on your life. Have compassion. It's when you know there's someone in church that can't afford a lawyer, but you're a lawyer. I don't want to point fingers or anything, please. This is not because you're all lawyers and attorneys, and I know I'm. You know what I'm saying? If you were Joseph. Oh, by the way, you are Joseph. We are Joseph. Why do we struggle? What's going on here? Great question. Thanks for asking. Can we move on? Entitlement. The belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. Joseph, when he started. Joseph, when he started out with his beautiful little dreams. I had a massive argument with a good friend of mine a few years ago. This is quite a number of years ago. And he just finished studying. He got his second degree in engineering. And he was arguing that it was his right to get a job, a well-paying job, because he had studied. And if you know me, one, you don't mess with my friends, but two, don't be stupid. And I got upset. I like the underdogs. I like those. I fight for those. I like standing up for justice. And so I pointed out to him, are you telling me you are better than that person there? Someone that didn't have 2 degrees. See, he was entitled, and he thought he was entitled, because unlike most of the people he was around, he paid for his own studies. He had to pay it off. He had to take a loan. So he felt entitled. It's his right. We did not agree in the end of conversation. Entitlement. It's something that our country is struggling with. Everyone feels they're entitled. All of us feel entitled. And now I need to tread very lightly. We are not entitled. We are bought and paid for. If we are entitled, we'll miss the calling on our lives. And the Lord will look for the next Joseph. Our only entitlement is the cross. That is your entitlement. And Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my followers, you must deny yourself, take up your cross. Follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for my sake, you'll save it. That is what you're entitled to.
as Byron said earlier, stewardship. You are only a steward. It took Joseph half of his life, most of his life in fact, to come to this revelation. That those beautiful dreams was God moving to save a nation whom at that stage was only 12. Our beloved John writes in Revelations 18. Then I heard another voice calling from heaven. Come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. Speaking about Babylon, speaking about the great harlot. There's a place where God calls us, like Daniel, to be in Babylon. But that Babylon's sins will not become our sins. That the great harlot's sins don't become our sins. That we don't get enticed like the world entices. Not only you will know what those enticements are. Are you with me? That's between you and God. I'm sitting in a time where I'm sitting between two extremes. I'm having conversations with people that are really excited about getting married, and I'm sitting with people that are really excited about what God's doing in their life, and there's amazing breakthroughs, and there's blessings, and there's financial blessings, and there's business deals of millions, and that's the one extreme I sit on. The other extreme is people that's losing everything. People's lives are at a risk. Really hardcore, serious, scary stories where I don't know how to counsel them. I don't know what to tell them. Really hard stuff. We're living in a time of extremes. Is that not so? But we need to get what 1 John tells us. We have to realize I'm not rich in this area. And you're poor. And I'm just going to give. And I'm going to bless. I'm going to walk. And if all you hear is finance, then you've missed it. Okay? Joseph, finance, it wasn't finance. It was stopping starvation. It's beyond finance. The world as we know it would not exist. The whole world would probably have been wiped if it wasn't for one man that took a long time to wake up. Brothers and sisters, we are the prophetic voice of this nation. What are we calling? What are we saying? And God, as I said, is about to take you to the next level, the next step. And it's just going to be one person that's doing something a little unethical. And you're going to have to get direction from the Holy Spirit and wisdom how to handle it. Do you ever speak to this person? Someone in my firm, I can see, is flirting with other women, but he's a married man. What am I going to do? I hope that's not my responsibility. He's not in my church. He's not even a Christian. Did you know that there's three judgments, and we're not going to go into it? The third judgment is a judgment on nations. According to Revelation, did you know there's a judgment on nations? Where God looks at South Africa and says, have you done what I've called you to do, Church of Jesus Christ? But I was a good person, Jesus. I did everything. I tithed. I spoke to my friends. Once even gave a rebuke. That's great. What about the nation? The injustice of the nation. Did you read that stats? Did you see the last one? 70% of that poverty is women.
70% are women.
We've been given authority for this continent.
And God in his goodness, as he walked with Joseph, is walking with us and saying that we'll come to the end of life and says, can I punish you? Am I God? Guess what? He could punish them. Right there, he could have. But he realized he couldn't because he was under God. And God was his king. And he's everything. We need God to become everything. So we can come to the place that when these atrocities start happening, that we can be a voice of truth. And that's what God's asking us. Can you speak truth? And the first one might be okay. The second one's going to be hectic. The third one's just going to be complicated. Matthew and myself, we find ourselves in a complicated scenario. As I speak now. And it's weird. It's random. It's not normal. It's unheard of. And you start asking yourself, what's going on here, Lord? Seriously, what's going on here? This is what the Lord told me. This. So we're in this together. But we need the wisdom of Daniel to be able to deal with the things that come because we are called to be the breadbasket of Africa. If you sit with Brendan that preaches quite often here, he will tell you how many people in Zim are dying at the moment of starvation. You know what breaks me? There's nothing I can do. Breaks me. I want to climb in a car, I want to climb in a bucket, I want to drive to Zim, but the problem is Zim is not allowing any food in their borders at all. Yes. They've stopped all people, all NGOs coming into the country. The UN can't come in. No one can get into Zim. Did you know that? We don't know what's happening with the bride of Jesus Christ. Our brothers and sisters are starving. And we're having arguments about what's the best coffee. We're sitting in extremes. We're sitting in deception. There's nothing wrong with having your best coffee. It's fine. But do we have compassion? Are we passing the test of God in our lives to be a prophetic voice? To be a prophetic voice is going to cost you. So I love internship. Can I promote internship? I did internship. Best chair backing year of my life. I backed more chairs that year than I backed in any other year. To learn to serve. Have people greater than us. Stupid example. We were without a fridge for 3 weeks. None of you have ever been without a fridge for 3 weeks. Hallelujah, it gets expensive. Do you know that long life milk isn't long life? I didn't realize that. Pouring coffee in the morning. Yum, yum. I tried to rebuke that devil out of that cup. It didn't work. Realize that long life milk, it's not long life once it's open. What is my reason for telling them? Oh my goodness, I can't even remember now. The fridge, why was I talking about the fridge? There was a moral behind it. Yeah, it's a long time without a fridge. It'll come back to me now. Oh yeah. So after 3 weeks, I walk past my neighbor and he greets and says, how are you doing? You know, and I said, oh, it's going well. You know, we just got a fridge back. We're 3 weeks out of fridge. And he looks at me strangely and he goes, well, why don't you just come store your stuff at my place? And you know, a lot went through my mind and I didn't have an answer for him. Showing compassion All you need to do is simple. Hi, your fridge is broken. Would you like to store your stuff in the house? Play a nice Jesus song when he comes in. Play that CD dry, brother. You know, just keep it on repeat. Sometime he's going to come and fetch his long life milk. Because it's not long life. He's got to come and fetch it. Compassion for people around us. God is calling us to compassion. Can we stand? Can I call the band up to the front? We're gonna minister a song together. I'd like to prepare you for what's about to happen. Can we just keep quiet? Just gonna move around at this stage. If God is speaking to you in your spirit, something in your heart, something inside of you is going, man, I need to respond. And I want you to do so. For whatever reason. We've got the interns here, and they have been doing a year of ministry. And they're going to come prophesy over you. They're going to come pray for you. They're going to stand together with you. But let's take this call on our life seriously. Let's stop being entitled and feel special, and let's just be honest and real. Let us do what God's called for us to do. I would so love it as a generation to get it right. I'd so love to see revival. I'd so love to see the bride of Jesus Christ blessing the city. And the city going, these are the saints, the living God. I'm so excited to the place where we can come, where we can be the answer to the problems of this nation, of Cape Town. Where people stop looking to NGOs and start looking to the bride of Christ. Where people come to church and to fellowship because of lives being transformed. Love what Akim said. Who's called for ministry? Akim, I'm sorry that we failed your question. We all call for ministry. We all call to carry our cross. And as that word was shared, to heal the broken. Time that we start being the church and stop playing church. The needs are overwhelming, and we are the answer. We're the answer to one another, and we're the answer to the world. We are the light. We are the anointed. We are the favored. We have the good news. Let's take it to the